Good morning, brothers and sisters. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, Christ is the end of the law. This means essentially that all of the law was laid at the feet of Jesus. Without Christ, there was no point to the law. It would have had no purpose. It would have been ritual. It would have been the sacrifice of bulls and goats, the blood of which would have no effect, for the blood of bulls and goats cannot save. So every sacrifice under the law required faith in a greater sacrifice. And the greater sacrifice requires faith in us. And so Paul says concerning Moses in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 10, Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And we really should go to the passage which Paul so brilliantly uses here to explain his point. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And beginning in verse 11, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. So Paul just puts in Christ in place of the commandments that Moses was giving to the people. And what Paul is telling us is that Christ is not beyond our reach, and nor does it require works to be a disciple of Christ. You don't have to go into heaven. You don't have to go into the deep. It's very near you. And so today, as we gather here once again to remember our Lord, here it is again, brothers and sisters. It's an exercise of faith that we engage in today. And how can we strengthen our faith? How can we grow in our appreciation of what we are doing here week by week? Paul, as he concludes his letter to the Romans, has some very appropriate words for us. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. So what is revealed has been made known through the prophetic writings, the scriptures, Moses in Deuteronomy, and all of the writings that we have in our Bible. It's all there, says the Apostle Paul, for us. It's not easy. This book could never be said to be an easy book. Oh, there are things that are easy to understand, certainly. But this book, if it's to reveal that mystery, the secrets of this book, it requires effort. This book requires diligence. It's not a book to be taken up once in a while. If we are truly to have the word in our heart and in our mouth, we must be diligent in the prophetic writings. Everything that God has given to us, everything that is God-breathed. And so, as we look at what Paul has to say in Colossians, there is something more that will instruct us here. And I would like to take you on a little journey through some verses that will emphasize what we have here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, the saints, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's it. That is God's revealed mystery for all ages and for all believers. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want to start with that word glory. In the Greek it is the word doxa. And we know from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that we all fall short of it. But what is the glory of which Paul speaks? I think Vine's dictionary gives us a very good help here. It is the manifested perfection of his character, especially his righteousness. And that's what we hope for. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we are focused on, is the manifested perfection of his character, the character of God manifested in Jesus Christ, especially his righteousness. Wonderful, isn't it? Can we go now to 1 Corinthians? Where we see in the second chapter what we are talking about here when we talk about Christ in us. What is it? Is it something vague that can't be understood? Never. For Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, let me start at verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's it. That's where we must be. That's where we must aim to be. And that's why we're here today. to renew that mind, to rededicate ourselves to the mind, to the thinking, to the way of life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we're here for. And so that's why Jesus said in such simple words, do this in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of the things that he said, the things that he did, the things that he thought, the way that he acted. And how do we get that, brothers and sisters? We must apply ourselves diligently to the writings. Alas, there are so many things that distract us in life. Too many things distract us. We get too busy with too many things. And so we lack the time to dedicate ourselves and apply ourselves to the writings, to the scriptures, and to the deeper writings of those who encourage us within the brotherhood. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. And whosoever wills, he will open unto me, and I will sit with him, and I will sup with him. That's what Jesus wants to do. But we have to let him in. But we don't have the time. And that's our biggest mistake, I think, that we make, brothers and sisters. We've got too many things, and we fit too many things in, and we just engage in so much that there isn't time for Jesus. There isn't time to let him in, to sit with us. John chapter 6. And here is the instruction of Jesus himself as to what we must do, the essential for the disciple of the Lord Jesus. Let's begin in John chapter 6 and verse 55. John 6, 55. Words very familiar indeed, but very essential. Jesus says, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is a feeding, brothers and sisters. This is a taking in. This is a digesting of everything that Jesus is, his body and his blood. And Jesus couldn't make it plainer. The Jews, with their literal black and white mind, couldn't understand these words. But surely they're not lost on us. How much time do we sit, do we take to just feed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Chapter 14 of John, verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We read those words too quickly, don't we? Do we really comprehend what Jesus is saying concerning the Father and concerning himself? That if we love him and we obey the teaching, that they will actually come and live with us? In John chapter 15, verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Christ in us, brothers and sisters. The hope of glory. With the anticipation of all that will bring us, that we will be the manifested perfection of his character, especially his righteousness. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 22 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus gave his glory to his disciples. He demonstrated it. Day in, day out throughout his ministry with his disciples, he gave them that glory. Here it is. He showed them. And now he's inviting us to share that glory also. And perhaps we will only just get a small portion of that glory in this life. But surely we must make every effort, every diligence. We must apply every diligence to be more like him, to be more faithful disciples, showing the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to go now to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. What a concept. But Christ must dwell in our hearts through faith. We don't have to go into heaven, and we don't have to cross the ocean. It's near to us. As Paul reminds us, it's in our hearts and in our mouths. It was a principle that Moses established with Israel. And Paul takes it up and he establishes it with us too, brothers and sisters. It's not works. It's faith. But to have that faith, Christ has to dwell in our hearts. We have to make room in our hearts. We have to give it time. And if Christ is just a mere few minutes a day, can we expect to achieve what Paul is telling us here? 1 John chapter 3. In verse 24. And here's proof. If we need to know if Christ is dwelling in our hearts or not, here's the proof. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And that's the acid test. And how do we understand that? We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Well, we need to take a look at that word pneuma for spirit. And I believe the right application to this usage of pneuma here is mental disposition. We know it by that mental disposition that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our mind is disposed towards the things of God, that's when we know that we live in him. But now it is time to take an exam. Now it's time to just look at ourselves and see if really and truly, when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we are in him or whether we are not. And perhaps we need to be a little more brutal in our examination. A little more honest with ourselves. As if the Lord Jesus Christ were actually here amongst us. As by faith we must realize that he is. And then we can perhaps see ourselves in a truer light. 1 John 4 verse 6. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, the apostles. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Those who pay heed to God's word. That is the thing that determines who is of truth and who is of falsehood. In chapter, the same chapter, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's the practical outworking, my brothers and sisters, the demonstration that God is in us. If we love one another, if we demonstrate the same characteristics, one toward another, as God has demonstrated towards us. In verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And that's the test. Whether God lives in us. How we treat one another. And so we've come a little way from that verse in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It seems to be the almost like the final word, if you like, of the Apostle Paul. It's his condensed teaching on everything that he has to say, on the revealed mystery of everything that God wants to be made known, that Christ should be in us. And Christ being in us, we have that wonderful hope of glory. The manifested perfection of his character, especially his righteousness. I would like to bring our thoughts to a conclusion by going to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Christ is the end of the law.